This morning I'd like to share two readings of Scripture with you. First from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, the first seven verses. Often we use this passage at Christmas time, but the beauty of the passage definitely should never be limited to that period of time. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hid their faces, he was despised. And we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our iniquities, he has carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. From the Gospel of John, Chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and crucify him. I find no case against him." This is God's word. May he add a blessing, bring a blessing to us, so we can bring a blessing to him and to others as we share and meditate on this, the story of God's love for us. It is good to be with you. Years and years ago, I did not check my records. I had the opportunity of sharing with you in worship many years ago. And several years ago, I had the opportunity to meet with people in the fellowship hall and had a chance of sharing then as well. Coming from Mescalero, New Mexico, the home of the Mescalero Apache Indian tribe. Our church has been there, began ministry, as was stated early, in 1909. And it's one of the most famous of the tribes of the Southwest. And some of the most famous names come from our tribe of people. Geronimo, Cochise, Naiche, all were a part of the Chiricahua Apache tribes. And those are the names that are associated with the people who were taken as prisoners of war in 1886. They were finally released as prisoners in 1912. For 27 years, they were held as prisoners of war, first in Georgia, then in Florida, where many of them died out and died because of the dramatic change in climate. They were finally moved to Oklahoma and released in 1912. And many of the Chiricahua Apaches came to the Mescalero Reservation. There were different Apache tribes. And that is the church, the people that we serve. I'd like to share a story about Alexis. About 3 years ago, this period of time, our community was in deep, deep turmoil. In a period of 8 weeks, we had 6 suicides. One of them was one of the young ladies that came to worship with us. In fact, that Sunday morning, she was in worship with us on Sunday morning. That evening, she went out and hung herself. She was 14 years old. We celebrated that anniversary just this past week, the anniversary of her death. It was at that period of time that I met a young lady named Alexis. She was 13 at the time. And she started coming to our youth group because somebody had invited her. And because of all the turmoil in the community, she was looking for something. I spent a lot of time with Alexis. I was doing the youth group meetings at that time, our Bible studies. And Alexis came every Wednesday evening to our youth group, to our Bible study. She came every Sunday morning. But she was a girl that was a young lady that was really hurting. A lot of pain. So she would come to worship in our Sunday school, would have our songs, and she'd be up, and my wife does all the animation with the songs, the sign language, and that sort of thing. And Alexis would be there, and she was just enthusiastic and just filled with joy. There was a great joy that came as you looked at her, but that joy that came to her face hid the deep pain that was a part of her life. I spent literally hours and hours with her. I would manipulate. We'd have to pick the kids up for youth group. We'd have to bring them home. And I would manipulate our van route so she'd be the last one off so I could speak with her and talk with her. And we talked about a lot of the pain that was taking place in her life. We took our young people to Michigan on a work trip. Alexis went with us. But her life began to unravel. She had run away from home. She ended up in some foster care. And I have the article, a copy of the article. I carry it with me often from the Albuquerque Journal. On June 7, 2011, Alexis, age 15 at that point, killed her foster mother. And of course has been incarcerated ever since. I also have in my, that I carry with me, another article that came out a week before that killing that Alexis was a part of. And it talks about, it comes from an AP story. And it talks about that on the reservations, on the Navajo reservation, as well as the study took place on the Navajo reservations and also on the Sioux reservations in South Dakota. And it talks about the fact that over 50%, over half of the crimes, the sexual crimes, the assaults, over half of the crimes on the reservations that the study took place, and I think our reservation is no different at all. Over 50% of the crimes that take place are never prosecuted. Nothing is ever done in regards to these cases. 50%. See, behind that smile of Alexis, and I got to know her. When I got to know her, there was all that pain. Behind that smile, she was cutting herself. And so many times I would say, Alexis, pull your sleeves up. I want to see your wrists. And there'd be the scars or the scabs where she was cutting herself. She repeatedly talked about suicide. She let older men manipulate her with their love, which wasn't love at all. Alexis' story is tragic, not just because of what took place on June 7 of last year, but it's a tragic story because what has taken place in her life from the time she was a very young girl. She had been sexually molested. No one would hear her. No one would do anything about it. She was part of that 50% of the crimes that are never reported. She had experienced the pain, the hurt that came from her own family members. But the family members wanted to be in denial. They didn't want to have to deal with any of this. And when a person does not experience justice, it brings destruction. Destruction to the person, destruction to the goals of people. You look at our community, 76% of our kids do not graduate from high school. 76% do not graduate from high school. When justice does not taken place, does not take place, when you have been hurt, hurt in the deepest part of your soul, you lose your goals. You become destructive. And at times that destruction takes place. And what happens as you react to others? Am I surprised? And in the article it talks about people that were so surprised that this Alexis would do something like this. She was a quiet, mannered person. She had that beautiful smile. Why would she do something? I wasn't surprised at all. Because of the deep hurt that she had been experiencing. We read this morning from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. It says, this one that is going to be coming, he will be despised and he will be forsaken. He'll be a man of sorrows. He'll be acquainted with sin. Verse 4, that same chapter. He has borne our griefs. Our sorrows he has carried. Verse 5, he was pierced through for our sins. He was crushed because of our iniquities. Verse 6, the Lord has crushed the iniquity of us all, has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. See, the greatest event of injustice that ever did take place was planned by God to take place with his Son. Then we read from John chapter 19. Pilate had Jesus whipped. The soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked Jesus. Verse 4, Pilate pronounces Jesus, he pronounces his verdict and says, not guilty. Verse 6, Pilate repeats his claim, states it for a second time, I find no guilt in him. The greatest event of injustice was not only planned by God, but it was now carried out. Alexis was a victim of injustice. But she chose a path of greater destruction. Alexis could have, and we have talked about this so many times with her, she could have looked to the one who understood what injustice was all about. She could have looked to the face of Jesus and said, I know he understands my pain. I know he understands my hurt. And chose a different path to take. Ralphalita, Ralphie as we call her, or called her, she dropped out of our church when she was in sixth grade. Her junior high, middle school, and high school years were not very positive. She was one of the biggest troublemakers there were in school. I pretty much lost track of her. She is now 28 years old. About 4 years ago, Ralphie's younger brother, who was who was 22 years old at that time, was killed in an execution-style killing. Ralphie and Julian were the best of friends as brother and sister. He was the youngest in the family. She was the second to the youngest. I had not had contact with Ralphie for many, many years. 6 weeks ago, I got a phone call from her. She's living in El Paso, Texas, about 120 miles south of us. She's now married and has three children of her own, three daughters, ages 10, 9, and 5. But as she called me that day, and was I surprised to get her phone call? Absolutely. And if it wasn't for the uniqueness of her name, if her name would have been Mary, I probably would have had to eventually say, Mary who? But I knew exactly who Ralphalita or Ralphie was. But as she called me 6 weeks ago, she was in a very, very dark place. Depression had overcome her. Part of it was still dealing with the death of her closest friend, her brother, which took place 4 years ago. But part of it came because she began to have seizures in the last several months of her life. She's also diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And as we talked on the phone that day about 6 weeks ago, I remembered how she loved music. Oh, she loved music. And we talked about that on the phone. The joys of her day now are simply in taking her five-year-old daughter to school. She loves that experience, and as she takes that five-year-old daughter to school, it's about a 20-minute trip, 10 minutes there and 10 minutes home. She has the radio on to Christian music. She gets home, and she goes into this very, very dark place in her life. Ralphie called me just this past Friday, 2 days ago. And what a difference God is making in her life. This is what she said. She said, I decided that I am no longer going to be a victim. Dealing with her past life, dealing with her brother's death, and also dealing with the illnesses that are plaguing her body. She says, I will use my situation to help others. She could look at the pain of her life and look at the injustice, because she talked about that. Why me? Why at 28 years old should these various illnesses come to me? Why should my brother be the dead person? Or she could look to the one who knows all about injustice, and that's what she's doing. Merle rose above his situation. He's 21 years old. And what a man, young man. He stopped coming to church, our youth group, when he was in seventh grade. About a year ago, God spoke to him, and God speaks in very, very unusual ways. We go and pick people up for worship on Sunday morning. We take them home. We pick them up for youth group. And I have been stopping at Merle's neighbor's house for years and years and years. Every Sunday morning, I'm honking the horn, and we try to honk it real loud and real long so that we wake people up so that they know that we're there and that we're having church. And one Sunday, as I honked at his neighbor's house, as I have for years and years and years, he knew he had to come to church that day. He knew he had to come for worship, and he did. And he has come to worship ever since then. He has come to Sunday school. He comes to our young adult Bible study. He has brought his mother back to church. She had not come for years. His co-workers are coming with him to worship. A person that he's trying to help out, Regis, is having to deal with all sorts of issues of injustice in her life. Merle has brought her this past Sunday. Merle's best friend, who has not been in church for years, was in worship last Sunday morning. See, Merle has accepted the victory that Jesus has brought into his life. And listen to what he wrote about 2 months ago. These are his exact words. I am at the point of no return. I pray daily, read my Bible almost every night. I crave to go to church on Sunday. There is no place I'd rather be. His words, his exact words. See, this is what God's ministry at Mescalero is all about. It's about what the good news of Jesus is all about. The injustice that was inflicted on Jesus, we can look to, and we can see that there is a greater power out there that we can reach out to and hold on to no matter how difficult life can be. Is there injustice in the world? Absolutely. Is it right for us to say this is not fair? Absolutely. But the greatest injustice was that which was done to Jesus. A young lady called me this week, Miranda. She's 33 years old. And she told me that her daughter, is going to be 19, meaning Miranda had her first child when she was 14. And I was a part of her life at that point, because she had, not in a physical sense with physical violence and force, she had been taken by an older man who eventually became the father of her soon-to-be 19-year-old daughter. And I've had limited contact with Miranda over the years, but she shared with me this week, she says, I know I need to let God have control of my life. I apologized to her as I talked with her this past week, and I said, Miranda, I'm not going to be in worship with you Sunday morning, but I'm going to look forward to the report of you being in worship, because, of course, I'm here and not at my home community. In the videos that we will show, there'll be a picture of Lyneth. Lyneth is now in fifth grade. 2 years ago, she was a victim of sexual assault by her uncle. She's one of the 50%. I was in the office with her mom and with Lyneth and the tribal prosecutor. And Lyneth would not share anything about what had happened. And I asked the prosecutor if I could talk with her. And we taped the conversation. And she went into details about the story of what had taken place with her uncle. We had it on tape. We gave it to the prosecutors. Nothing, absolutely nothing, was done. Lyneth is going to have to deal with the issues of injustice, and I hope that just as Alexis went the wrong direction in looking for how to deal with that injustice, I hope that Lyneth and the others begin to look at the only answer for that injustice. Because it takes place. Not just in our community, but in all communities. Not just in the lives of our people, but in the life of each one of us. There are times when we feel the unfairness of life, the injustice of life. And I look to my Savior, who carried that greatest pain of all. In closing, just a quick postscript with Alexis. This past Father's Day, it's tough for me to say this without getting choked up. This past Father's Day, she sent me a letter and a Father's Day card from prison. It's one of the most beautiful Father's Day cards I have ever gotten. And the letter is beautiful as well. And she wants to make something good out of her life. And she says, can you send me the words of some of the songs that we used to sing in Sunday school? By the grace of God, Alexis will have her life pulled together by that grace of God. We rejoice that we have a Savior, a Lord, who understands every situation of our life and can make something very beautiful come out of each of these situations. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that there are times in our lives where we're hurting, where we wonder if anybody understands. Yes, and our situations may not be nearly as extreme as some of these situations that have taken place in the church at Mescalero. But yet, Lord, they are painful. They bring us to a place of darkness. We are so grateful that you come with your light. You are the light of the world that shines into the darkness. And Lord, we want that light to shine into our lives as well. Thank you that from your word we can come to understand the greatness of your love for us. For Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.